The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Most people, when they say, I trust in Jesus as my Savior, they mean, he's my best shot. He's my only hope of heaven.
I could be wrong. I don't think I'm wrong, but I could be. But I'm going to stick with this anyways.
Right. It's my best shot. It's kind of like, I've done the research, and he's the best Savior out there.
What kind of faith is saving faith? In other words, what is the nature of saving faith? How is it like trust? Is trust a synonym for faith? Answers to these questions and more are straight ahead. Stay tuned. Welcome to another week of Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. My name is Lucas Kitchen, and my hope is that you'll join us every weekday at this same time. We're continuing in our current series, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. This is also the title of a book written by discussion leader Bob Wilkin. You can receive this book from us at a much reduced price. I'll talk more about that at the end of today's program. Right now, let's get started with the discussion. Here are the Grace in Focus discussion leaders.
We're so glad you're listening to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
We have been talking about some of the most misunderstood words in the Bible, and one of those words is the word faith. What does faith mean? What does it mean to believe? Everyone knows we're supposed to believe in Jesus, that salvation depends upon faith, but we don't always know what it means to believe. For example, one of the things that people talk about is they use the word faith or believe and the word trust. And they say that saving faith is more than just head knowledge, more than just head belief. It also includes this idea of trust. Some people use it as a synonym, but some people use trust to mean something more than simply believing in Jesus. Have you found that, Bob?
Yes, I've heard that, Sean. And it's really sad because, as you say, for many people, when they use trust, they prefer it to the biblical words. We never find, for example, any translation of John 3:16. There's not one that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever trusts in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Not one.
Similarly, there's no translation of Galatians or Romans that says we're justified by trust apart from works.
None.
It says we're justified by faith.
And right? So as a result, we get two kinds of confusions. Number one, some people will say trust is a heartfelt response. It's allegiance to Christ. It's dedication to him. It's commitment to him. Other people will say trust is something more than faith, but we don't know exactly what it is. Well, they don't say that, but they will just say, okay, now you believe in him, now you need to trust him. And it leaves this layer of confusion. But the problem is, even in English, trust and faith, most of the time, are not synonyms.
Right, so that's an important thing to point out. You know, in English, they can be synonyms. They can't. It's possible for them to be synonyms. But we're not looking at the dictionary. We're concerned with how people actually use these terms. And when people use the term trust, most often, it's not a synonym for faith. And so if you present the gospel in terms of you need to trust in Jesus, and you don't think it's a synonym for faith, then you're adding something to faith for salvation. You're adding something to the promise of life. And the question is, what exactly are you adding?
That's exactly right. Let me give a few illustrations. For example, number one, haven't we all heard about trusting a doctor to do surgery on us?
Sure.
So let's say you do a lot of research, Sean. You've got some hernias and you have to have hernia surgery. And so you find a great doctor in Dallas that's done 10,000 hernia surgeries in the last few years, and he's only had one person die, and only 100 of them he had to redo the surgery within the first year. Based on your research, you believe he's an excellent surgeon.
Right. He sounds like a very competent doctor, and then I have the best chance of having a good surgery with him.
So you trust him to do surgery?
I trust him to probably do a good job of it.
Now, trust there doesn't mean you're sure he's going to take care of the problem, you won't die, you won't need another surgery. What trust means is you're taking a chance on him.
That's right. The chances are definitely in my favor, but there's always a chance that something could go wrong. There's always a chance that I trust him, but he might not follow through. Who knows what might happen?
And let's say I'm, for example, this Saturday I'm flying to Southern California. I trust that the flight's going to get me there safely. I know the odds are strongly in my favor. But I realize it's possible I will die. I do not believe it's certain that I'm going to make it to California.
All right. So what you're saying is, When people use trust, they often mean that it's something less than certainty. It's a probability statement. It's I'm hoping that this will be true, but I realize that it may not actually happen. But I'm going to trust that things will go my way, but I'm not positive that they will.
Absolutely. Have you ever heard this expression, Sean? Let me ask you this. Jesus Christ is my only hope of heaven. Now, what do people mean by that? In most cases, what they mean is, I'm really not sure if I'm going to heaven or not.
But fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, he's my best shot.
That's right.
In other words, I don't know what percentage of people he loses along the way.
Right.
But there's a good chance I'm going to make it as long as I keep trusting in Jesus.
Right. So it sounds then, if I'm following your argument, it sounds like you're going to say that faith is more than just something probable, something more than that you're hoping for. Faith is more than that. But what more is it?
Yeah. Biblical faith is certainty. For example, if I ask you, is 2 plus 2 4, would you go, I think so, maybe, there's some small chance. If I ask you, is Washington, D.C. the capital of the United States, you'd be certain, right?
Right.
I know it is. I believe it is. Admittedly, we sometimes use the word believe in English to refer to something we hope is going to happen.
Right.
But biblically, when the word believe is used, almost always it's referring to something which is certain, something which is sure. And so when we say, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, John 3:16, we're referring to someone who is convinced, is certain that Jesus is the Savior, that Jesus gives everlasting life to the one who believes
in
him.
Right, there's no doubt there. That's not a probability statement for them. That's not like a guess. They know that it's true.
And the problem is, trust doesn't convey that.
Right. So let's take the example of Abraham, and God promised him a son. When Abraham believed in God, believed in that promise, Abraham didn't think it was probably true. He didn't think he had, you know, a 50-50 chance that it will happen. There was no doubt in his mind that it would happen. If he had doubted it, if he had just thought, well, maybe God will pull through, maybe he won't, he wouldn't have been justified at that point.
Exactly. And notice how amazing this is, because when God asks him to offer up Isaac and to take his only son and to slay him as a sacrifice, Abraham obeys and he's about to plunge the knife into his son and kill him. And the author of Hebrews said he believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead.
Because God had promised that Isaac would lead to a great nation. So if Isaac died, Abraham reasoned God had to have raised him from the dead because God would fulfill that promise of having the nation.
And it's because Abraham believed.
Right.
He was convinced.
He was certain.
He was persuaded. He was certain.
All right. And so when you believe in Jesus for eternal life, it's more than just a guess. It's more than just like a hope that maybe you hope this will happen. It's more than just, hey, it's probable that Jesus can save me. When Jesus calls for you to believe in him, he's calling for you to believe with certainty. He's calling for you to be fully persuaded that he is going to do what he said he would do.
Let's say you're evangelizing somebody. You share with them that Jesus died on the cross for all our sins, and he took away the sins of the world, so no longer is sin a barrier between us and God. You know, you see all these tracks where there's a cross, and it covers the chasm. And you say, so now the issue is you're dead, you lack the life of God, and you need life. And the way you get that life is by trusting in Jesus. And then you say, let me show you a verse that says that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the intelligent listener says, where's the word trust in that verse? Oh, well, the word trust isn't in there, but believe means trust. Well, then why didn't they translate it trust? Well, we don't want to get into that. Well, show me another verse where it says the one who trusts in Jesus has everlasting life. Well, there are no verses that say that. What kind of evangelism is it if you're telling people to trust when the text says to believe? I recognize there are some people when they say, I trust in Jesus for my salvation, for my everlasting life, they mean, I am convinced that I have everlasting life by faith in Jesus.
Right, and they're using that word as a synonym, and that's okay.
But that's a very minority position.
Right.
Most people, when they say, I trust in Jesus as my Savior, they mean, he's my best shot.
I could be wrong. I don't think I'm wrong, but I'm going to stick with this anyways.
Right. It's my best shot. It's kind of like, I've done the research, and he's the best Savior out there.
So one of the purposes of our ministry, Grace Evangelical Society, the publisher of Grace and Focus magazine and Grace and Focus Radio, is we want to reform, you might say, evangelism. We want people to evangelize biblically. And one of the ways that you can evangelize biblically is to use biblical terms in evangelism. You can read that in the Gospel of John, for example. Why not just tell them to believe in Christ? Those are Jesus' words. That's how he evangelized. Don't you want to evangelize like Jesus?
I agree. And think about Ephesians 2:8-9. Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." He didn't say trust. He said faith. There's over 100 uses of salvation or justification or everlasting life by faith alone in the Scriptures. Over 100. There's not one, where in your English translation it says, "He who trusts in Jesus has everlasting life," or "is justified," etc. So why not stick with biblical language? And not only that, as I mentioned earlier, this affects your own assurance. If you don't know for sure what trust is, and you think those who trust Jesus are the ones who are going to make it into the kingdom, then you don't know for sure if you have everlasting life. But if you know what belief is, and you know you believe in Jesus, well, then you know you have everlasting life. And that's why we're so committed to the biblical language.
Who can evangelize better than Jesus? Part of being a biblical Christian, part of being a biblicist, which we try to be, is to reform not only our thinking, but even our language, using pattern of sound words, Paul said, in evangelizing and speaking about God. Sometimes it means that we need to step away from the Christianese and the lingo that we have, that we've adopted, and start adopting biblical language so we can evangelize more effectively that wonderful and clear promise that whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life.
Amen.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. This series, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, has a companion book by the same name. It's authored by our own Dr. Robert Wilkin. And if you would like a free ebook for the first 4 chapters, just email us at radio@faithalone.org. Request the ebook, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, that's it for today. We look forward to meeting with you again tomorrow when our discussion will deal with the misunderstood word everlasting. How does the Bible use this word? What should it mean to us when we use it? It promises to be another great discussion. I'm Lucas Kitchen, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.